This episode of Trenton Waves is brought to you by...
That is the sound of snoring. And that is the sound of sleep apnea. Every night, millions of people stop breathing for more than 10 seconds for 10, 20, 30, even 80 times per hour while they sleep. And that's dangerous. If you're a sleep apnea sufferer and you don't use or even like your CPAP machine, then you're possibly putting your life at risk. My name's Dr. Kevin Mossman, and not only am I a board-certified sleep dentist, but I'm also a sleep apnea sufferer myself. At our office, I can help you with a custom-made mouth device that takes the place of your dreaded CPAP machine. I love mine because it's comfortable and super easy to use. It costs you nothing to learn more about this life-saving mouth device. So call me today for a free consultation at 732-655-6585. Again, 732-655-6585. Or visit us online at sleepdentistnj.com. Again, that's sleepdentistnj.com.
Hello, podcast. Yeah, this is Frank Sasso from the Trenton Waves podcast. Just wanted to let you know, it's the annual spring edition of the Trenton Punk Rock Flea Market. It's time to awaken from your cold weather slumber and shop, eat, and rock till you drop. Over 260 different vendor tables each day, 10 different food trucks each day. This Saturday and Sunday, April 6th and 7th in Trenton, New Jersey. $5 at the door, good for both days. No tickets are required. Kids 10 and under are free, and there's free parking. That's this Saturday, April 6th, and Sunday, April 7th, 2019. Doors open at 10 and ends at 5 each day. Only at 675 South Clinton Avenue in Trenton, New Jersey. Rain or shine, like them on Facebook and visit them online at TrentonPRFM.com.
Are you ready?
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey.
Yeah.
With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, books, education, talent, events, of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank.
Yep. Frank Sasso here again, Trenton Waves. That's right, TrentonWaves.com. We've had such an outpouring of support from you guys over in Podcastia, so we really appreciate that. And today, we're here with somebody, and this is kind of cool, because he goes by a couple different names. Some may know him as Tony G. Some may know him as Tony Goggles. Some may know him as Anthony. But today, we're going with Mr. Tony Goggles and special guest to the guest, Sarah Casey as well. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Tony, I'm just first question. It's going well, but I just got to get this off my chest. Leon Rainbow was on the show, and the first question I asked him was the first question I'm going to ask you. What's with the name?
They started calling me Tony Goggles. That's my band name. I play drums in a band called Hannah Lee.
Yeah.
And my name's Anthony. I said I never want to be called Tony because I'm not a Tony. Like, I always thought like a Tony was like, hey, I'm Tony. What's up? So, of course, I tell that to somebody, and he starts calling me Tony.
You're such a Tony. Are you kidding me?
I guess I became a Tony, but I never was. I was an Anthony.
And yeah, really?
I guess when they changed my name to Tony, I slowly became a Tony. And then Goggles is, I used to have huge, like, giant glasses.
Bigger than the ones you have on now?
Bigger than the ones I have on now, yeah. And they used to take up, like, half my head. That's where I got the name Goggles, so it just became Tony Goggles.
Yeah, there's a whole steampunk thing going on.
Yeah, they were huge, man. They were like that old lady from the old Navy commercials, big. Like,
oh,
I don't know if
man,
you remember that.
Remember her?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were really
They were huge. They were lady sunglasses.
Was she the same lady from the I Fallen and Can't Get Up commercial?
No, that lady fell and she never got up.
She never did get up.
She never did anything after that.
If she got up, she's up getting the world. Tony Goggles, it's a pleasure to finally sit down with you, my man.
Yeah, nice to be here.
Sarah Casey is here with us as well. Sarah, your role with the whole Goggle experience, you've known him for, what, 20 years now?
Something like that, yeah. We just got bored one day and found out we both like making movies, and here we are, 20 years later, still making movies on a shoestring budget.
Now, the name of your film studio is DIY Films, D-I-W-H-Y Films, as in, why are we still making these films?
Right, like, why are we still doing this? Because every time we make a movie, we're like, we're never going to do this again. It's the last movie we're ever making. I don't want to do this anymore. And then within like a week, I'm like, Sarah, I got another idea. And we're off and running again. So it's like, why do we keep doing this to ourselves? And it's like fun. And then but it gets to a point where, because it's only two of us. And so we're doing like everything.
Okay,
and in a production, we normally get to the point where, like, we're trying to keep the gun away from our head. Because it's just the two of us doing everything. So it's like, why are we doing this? Why do we keep doing this? But it's fun. We're still here. We're still going to keep doing it.
Now, your latest film, Teenage Bloodsucking Bimbos, whose idea was this? Was it yours, Sarah, or yours, Tony?
I'm going to give you the credit on this one, Anthony.
Yeah, I just came up with the title, And then we always come up with a title, and then we take the story from there.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, let me make a vampire movie. So I'm like, teenage blood. So I'm like, yeah. Because I was kind of inspired by like Assault of the Killer Bimbos. Like, I always like names like that. Like, okay. The USA Up All Night movies.
Killer Clown from Outer Space.
Right. So it's kind of like, just you hear the title, and to me, I'm like, I got to see that movie. Most people are like, what the hell did you name your... Like, you know, they try to stay as far away from it as
exactly,
possible.
Right.
But I'm like, nah, teenage blood sucking bimbos. Now that's the movie we got to make. And then I usually tell her the title. She's like, yeah, go with it. Or, nah, that's stupid. And then I'm like, okay. She liked this one, so we went with it.
We actually got a chance to work on that a little bit together over the last summer.
Yeah, you actually did some of the After Effects for the end of the movie.
Yeah,
yes.
We're not going to give any spoiler alerts because there's not going to be any spoilers. Thanos is not in it. Iron Man does not come and save the day. Nothing like that happens. You just got to see it. Where can people see this film?
Right now it is doing a festival run.
Okay.
So it's playing all around the country, different festivals. Last week we just did the New Jersey International Film Festival in New Brunswick. And as of right now, we're still waiting on, you know, other film festivals to accept it.
Sure.
And we are looking at distribution right now, and it should be coming out sometime.
Okay.
We don't have a date right now.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Sarah, in your experience with Tony, well, also I'm saying Anthony. Sorry. Oh, man. It doesn't even feel right saying that.
I think I'm probably one of five people that call him Anthony.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Tony's
I'm not one
weird.
Of those five men.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
People call me Anthony. I don't even know they're talking to me. Most of
In your experience with Tony Goggles, has there been a film idea that he's come to you with you where you have said, you know what? No, we're not doing that film.
I can't really think of one. I could definitely think of a lot of them that I've said, yeah, maybe called a bluff, and then it never happened. What usually
oh, really?
Happens,
okay.
Yeah, what usually happens is he'll come at me with an idea, and I'll be like, yeah, okay, let's go for that. And then, you know, eventually a script will come in my hands, and I'll read it and be like, dude, there's no way we're going to be able to do this. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? How are these people going to fly? Like, how is this person's face going to explode? Like, what are you talking about, dude? We have no money. He's like, oh, I saw a video. We can make it happen.
I saw a video on YouTube with some mayonnaise.
And then, you know, like the day of shooting comes, it's like, so yeah, did you figure that out? No, I thought you were going to figure it out.
Like, I sent you the video.
So that's more or less what happens. Not so much like, yeah, dude, we're not making that. But there's been some really good titles over the years that we still talk about.
Yeah,
someday
there's
making.
Some, I don't know if they're all right for your audience, but like our dream project, Daddy, I'm Your Daughter, Not Your Girlfriend, is a movie we've been trying to do for years.
Easily for 15 years.
You're still trying to get that one made.
Yeah.
It's on the back burner.
It's on the back. We're waiting for that big Hollywood money, and then we're going to pull that
okay.
One out.
Okay. Special for that?
That's my best. Well, yeah. It's going to be awesome. Like, all the people are going to have, like, plastic hair. It's going to be really surreal looking. Like, it's going to look like a storybook.
Yes.
Like, it's really weird. Like, it's going to be, you hear the title, but it's going to be like Dog Boy. Remember Liquid Television?
Oh, my kinda God.
Kind of like that. It's going to be set up like that with, like, a lot of, like, weird animations and frames.
See, now, doesn't that sound like fun? Don't you want to make that? I've been wanting to make this movie for like 15 years. Here we are.
It does sound intriguing.
Now we try to make a little bit more mainstream, I guess,
yes.
Movies.
Okay.
We used to make more like weird or out, like the shocking. Our whole thing was we want to make movies that shock people.
Okay.
Now we're kind of like
this movie's offensive and our
whole shocking. Yeah.
So you're saying that most of your movies you would say are pretty offensive to the average bunch, yes or no?
Yeah, I would. I think like we made a movie called Toxic Fetus, which is about a girl who gets an abortion, but then the abortion falls into toxic waste and it comes back to kill her and her family.
Ah.
So if you find that offensive. But they're all comedies, so it's not like it's
So it's a really dark, dark.
It's actually pretty goofy.
It's actually a
trauma movie.
All of our movies, they sound like they're either going to be very dark or very offensive,
right.
Especially if you take the title at face value.
Yeah,
but at the
right.
same time, like the movies are actually very good. Like the stories are really well thought out.
People say that about Quentin Tarantino a lot. Like they say his films are so violent, so bloody, but then you watch like Kill Bill and the Crazy 88s,
right?
And she's like slicing arms off, and they're screaming, and the arms are bleeding.
Yeah,
it becomes so ridiculous to a point where it's like you're not even seeing it as violence anymore. It's just ridiculous.
You get desensitized.
It's like a cartoon almost. It's cartoon. Yeah. Like we watch Evil Dead, be like, it's the most violent movie. I'm like, it's not really violent. It's cartoony. It's goofy. There's some movies where one person gets shot and it can hit you harder than an entire movie of people getting their heads.
I tell you, man,
off, you know?
Untouchables.
Yeah.
When he gets shot in the elevator, if that was on the TV show, here's how they would have done that. The elevator doors would have closed. You would have heard the gunshot, and then the camera would have panned down to the bottom of the elevator door, and then you would have seen blood coming out from the bottom of the
like
door.
Like a foot or something.
And that's like even scarier to me. Because now I'm like, I'm imagining what that must look like.
Right.
You know what I mean? But look, there's a whole other genre that wants to see stuff, too. And that wants to see, like, you know, use, like, oatmeal and mayonnaise and all this other stuff to make, like, guts or whatever.
I love that's where we came up on, was, like, those shot-on-video movies. Like, I love those. I eat those up. Just, I love movies
where half-inch videotape shooting
them up. Like, people just go out in the woods, and they just get creative, and they do stuff. Like, I'm impressed by that. Like, somebody gets a couple $1 million, makes something. It's like, all right, you bet it better. You know, I'm not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good, but I'm more impressed by the people who go out in the woods and do it themselves.
Right,
and they come out with something like, all right, you had three of you, and you went out there, you did this. You had
a video camera on your shoulder, like a battery pack. Remember those?
Yeah, I'm like, that's amazing, and that's really the stuff. Like growing up, like renting videotapes. If anybody out there remembers those,
yeah, man,
that's the stuff I love to rent. I love the independent stuff, you know, because I was always like, you're not going to see this. This might be your only chance ever to see this movie, because you can rent it. You make, there's movies out there that I saw that I'll never see again. You know what I mean? Or I forgot about, or never see the light of day again, or anything.
Right.
So those are the little gems I like to find.
If video stores were still around today, he would be even more dangerous. Let me tell you why, Sarah. So I used to make films myself, right? Here's what I used to do. The days of Blockbuster Video, I would rent a new release, and then I would take it home, and I would put scotch tape over the little tab where the hole is. I put scotch tape over that. I would overwrite my preview on it, onto that tape. So I'd overwrite my preview onto that tape, and then I'd put black in there, and then I'd let the movie run, and then I would just return the movie. And I would do this like every week. I'd get another new release, put my film on there as the preview, and not erase the movie.
It's pretty smart.
They ran in the movie. And then I started getting recognized. In Blockbuster. Hey, aren't you in a movie? Aren't you in that? I saw it. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's a genius move.
Yeah, I wish I thought of that.
I did similar things like that, not to that degree, but I used masking tape.
Okay, I used scotch tape. Masking tape was probably easier to get off, and there wasn't any residue.
Exactly.
Scotch tape left residue.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it was just so funny because there was no need. No one ever thought anything. They just figured out.
Yeah, it's another
then
preview.
I guess, hey, there's a weird preview on this film.
That's genius.
Yeah.
That's genius. Well done. That's a DIY move right there.
Yeah, right.
There you go. That's why I want to share with you. But now, how are you going to do that now? You can't do that now.
Can't.
Even Google movies, you rent. There's no previews.
No previews.
Another question. Sarah, have you ever shot a movie with Tony acting as the producer? Have you ever kind of like, you know, grabbed the bull by the horns and actually focus-driven it yourself?
Not a movie per se, but I work with the Trenton Punk Rock Flea Market.
Okay.
So I'll do a lot of their commercials and things like that. I'll write and direct them.
Oh, like promos and things?
Yeah. And Anthony will act, he'll help me out behind the scenes.
What do you use the promos for?
Social media.
Oh, okay, so like Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff, YouTube.
Yep.
And you'll put those up on YouTube?
YouTube and Facebook.
Okay, so when you put them up on YouTube, they're just standalone videos or they're actual ads?
It's like a standalone video. For a while, we were doing mock trailers for other movies. Like, we did a Jaws one, we did Die Hard
we really did... Cool.
You did a Die Hard one?
Yeah, we did a Die Hard one. It was
Lionheart.
Really good. We did a Clerks one.
Clerks, yeah.
Wait, what was the one, Die Hard? What was it called?
Lionheart.
It was about, like, waiting in line and having to get
your
money.
Lionheart.
Yeah. It was actually really good.
I'm from New York. I hate waiting in line for anything.
We did a Stranger Things one. Yeah, we did a bunch of them.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of cool things. We did a dating game.
Yeah, we did a dating game. A
lot of, like, fake infomercials.
Yep, lots of fake infomercials.
They're pretty cool. They're pretty creative. Sarah does a really good job on them.
And thanks, man.
No problem.
It's like a Hallmark moment right now. And speaking of Hallmark, you do have a heart under there, Tony Goggles, and I'm about to expose you a little bit right now to Podcastia. I remember you telling me last summer, working on Teenage Bloodsucking Bimbos, that, you know, Christmas is coming up. I got to make a Hallmark film for my grandmother to, you know, just to, like, a nice Christmas story. And is that true? Were you just, like, messing with me or what?
No, my goal in life is to make, I got to make at least one Hallmark Christmas movie.
Oh, you haven't made it yet?
No.
Oh.
I want to.
I thought he made Prime Video for his aunt.
Here's the problem. You know what's happening with this one? We got the story down.
Yeah.
Don't have the title. It's completely reversed.
Oh, it's the title you need.
It's definitely something that
I have a feeling he can come up with some pretty cheesy titles.
And the Hallmark movies are so easy to make, you know. I just want to make one, just my aunt loves them so much, I just want to make one for her. So she's like, oh, you made one? I'm like, yup. Look, I did it. I did something good. And I want to make a Lifetime movie, too. We have to make a Lifetime movie.
Yeah, we got to make
a Lifetime movie. That's always about a woman getting beaten up by
her
husband with a pipe.
It could be about a pregnant teenager who's addicted to Ritalin, who gets beat up and then kidnapped, falls off a cruise ship. That,
whoa! Wait a minute.
I'm just gonna put them every single.
How'd the cruise ship get it? Cruises are expensive.
I'm thinking like every single Lifetime movie, we just make it one. Then she falls and loses her memory. Then she joins a cult. Then she gets beat in that cult. Gets her memory back.
Suddenly, it's an overly dramatized version of like a serial killer.
Right.
And then goes to the city school and helps them.
Yeah. And then she meets someone on Craigslist. He tries to kill her in the school, but the students breakdance their way to safety.
Nice.
We need a title.
The ultimate Lifetime movie.
And then that school that they were in, they wind up winning the national championships.
Right, and they save a convent by doing that too.
And you have to have
they'll put everyone on their shoulders in slow motion.
Yeah. And then it's Christmas.
You have to have has to be Meredith Baxter Birney, because she's in all those Lifetime movies.
Oh, I don't know. Who's Meredith Baxter Birney?
Remember from Family Ties? The mom from Family Ties?
Oh, yeah.
She's in every Lifetime movie. You know, Jim Gaffigan, the
comedian, does a whole
bit about
this. Candace Cameron.
Or Lori Loughlin.
Yeah.
Gotta have her.
Lori Loughlin, I can see that.
Yeah. She's the guidance counselor.
She's kind of in the movie. When she's there, it's like, okay, she's commanding the scene. When she's not, it's just forget about it. It's a mess.
Somebody's going to hear this watch in 6 months. We're going to see this on Lifetime. I'll be like, come on.
Yeah, you should have come up with a title.
My name is real.
That should be the motivation to get that title down, man. Come on. What are you guys doing?
I'm going to call it Once in a Lifetime.
Oh.
I'm telling Lifetime, if you're listening, please.
Please.
We work cheap.
Yeah, Tony Goggles and Sarah, they work for Cheetos and I think Coke. Anyway, you have a really good spread in US 1 newspaper. And you can check out that article if you go to TrentonWaves.com, click on guests, and then click on Tony Goggles and Sarah's picture. You'll see it right there. Click on that, and you can actually read the article talking about teenage blood-sucking bimbos. Is there anything else you guys are involved with other than film?
I play drums in a band called Hana Lee, and I sing in a band called Pissed, and I play drums in another band called Mega Now, which is like a 90s dance music.
So Hana Lee, as in where Puff the Magic Dragon is from?
Yeah, it's where you go when you're high, yeah.
Gotcha. And you still play live?
Yeah, we just played at the World Cafe Live.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. In Philadelphia?
Yep.
Very impressive.
Yeah, we played, last week? Yeah.
That's a great place. That's a really great place.
I love that place.
You mentioned the dating game before, and I know you have this affinity for creating game shows you do. What is it, every Tuesday night?
Yep, every Tuesday night at Mill Hill Saloon, I do game show night from 8 to 11. And I make my own game shows and stuff like that.
And tell me a little bit about this. I'm not understanding quite exactly what you mean.
You come in, the first thing when you walk in the door, everyone will clap for you because that's the audience.
Night. Yeah.
So the whole bar is the audience.
The bar is the audience.
Absolutely.
For the game show. Is it downstairs?
It's upstairs.
It's upstairs, away from normal business goings on at the Mill Hill Saloon, correct?
No, it's right there in the bar.
So you walk in and it's right there?
Yep, so if you've been in there, you walk in, the bar's there.
Yeah.
And then you have the dining area.
Right.
The dining area is where we do the game shows.
Oh, okay.
So you walk in, you know, the audience, you know, is everybody at the bar.
Gotcha.
And then depending, like, if we're playing, like, we have a game called Body Language, which is, you have two teams of two, and basically, so you have a giant screen and words will come up there and you have to act out the words, and it's like swimming with dolphins, you know, it'd be like swimming with dolphins, and you gotta try to get your other person, their backs to the screen, to guess what you're doing.
So it's basically
like charades.
So it's charades,
right? But I try.
Everybody's in on it.
Well, no, just the team. Anybody in the audience, they're like watching and they can yell out stuff, but we only have the two teams that are playing.
Oh, okay. So the screen, no one else can see the screen except the person pantomiming it?
No, everybody but the guesser has his back to
it. That's what I'm saying. So people can see the screen.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You say to me, Tony, trying to mess me up.
The audience is also the judges, should there be any questionable decision-making.
Well, which means the people who scream louder
pretty much means that
person's right.
It gets crazy, okay.
It can get very wacky.
How long have you guys been doing that?
2 years, almost. Years. 2-3 years.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. Every Tuesday night, Mill Hill Saloon. You'll see that on the guest page for Tony Goggles and Sarah Casey as well. That way you don't miss out on anything going on in Trenton, New Jersey. I hear you're on a podcast.
Yep, we now do a weekly podcast called What They Should Have Done.
I got to tell you, dude, I love it. That's a show I want to do. That's a show that I've been wanting to do, something like that.
Right.
Having to do with movies, right?
It's me, Sarah, and Raymond Strife. He's also a local musician. Our normal day is just us sitting around bitching about movies and talking about movies.
Right.
So he's like, well, we should do a podcast like this. I said, okay, we can do it Sunday. And we just ended up all showing up. Yeah. And we've been doing it now for 4 weeks.
Yeah, we recorded at 7A Studios, yep. And every week we'll watch a movie and either rip it apart or talk about what we like about it.
We tend to go, what they should have done was, and kind of we kind of rewrite the movie.
I gotcha.
We like this part, but they should have done this, and I think it would have made this work out
better.
It's more like we rip it apart a little bit in the beginning, I feel. I mean, we in and out rip it apart, but the majority is us talking about how to make the movie better and how the movie could have worked.
That kind of a show gets people through traffic. Because especially if it's like an, I think it was like an hour long.
Try to keep it somewhat short.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's good stuff because I remember working this dead-end job with headphones on, and when I saw the running time of a particular podcast I listened to, I was so happy because I'm like, oh, cool, an hour and a half. That'll go by like it's nothing. And then I have lunch, and then I'll be going home, and then you judge your whole... And now it was 4 minutes from my house at this point. But I'm just saying, a lot of people, they listen to podcasts, and they like the fact that it's an hour because it gets them through their commute.
Right, right.
You know? And they feel like they know us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just kind of a cool thing. Some of the questions that we get emailed to us from our other shows are just unbelievably familiar. They're like, wow, they really just, they feel like they know us, and they could, and we'll read the questions, good or bad, whatever. Right. But I would think that a show like that, what they should have done, you're definitely going to start seeing some interaction with that.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, we get in the real world, like a lot of people will be like, oh, listen to your podcast, start talking to us, like talking about what movies they want us to do.
Yeah.
Or, oh, man, I want to be on the show, I want to talk about this movie. Yeah. We're actually doing that movie next week. I want to talk to you about it. I'm like, yeah, after the podcast. Yeah. Listen to the podcast first. You're not getting this for free.
There you go. Tony, you have anything else coming up?
Yes. If you are in the L.A. area, a movie that we did, we're part of called High Death. We're going out there in 2 weeks for a screening of that in L.A. So that's premiering out there, and it's just coming out on DVD, Blu-ray, VHS, I believe.
It's coming out on VHS?
Yeah.
Dude, that's hot, man.
Because this is a sequel to...
Even better than that is Beta.
This is a sequel to a movie called High 8, which was like a cult hit anthology movie. This is the sequel to that one. So that one came out in VHS, and they had all that. So I think a lot of the fans from that movie are like VHS collectors and stuff like that. So this one's coming out on that, too. And
that's cool.
And that's done with a bunch of other really cool filmmakers like Todd Sheets, Brad Sykes, Amanda Payton, and Tim Ritter. Like when I was talking about shot and video people.
Yeah, right.
Like these are these guys I grew up watching. So it's really cool to be a part of that.
Cool, man.
We also have Sodomaniac. You can watch Sodomaniac. You can buy that at any place DVDs are sold. You can watch it on Google, and I believe you can rent it on YouTube. It was on Comcast On Demand, but it's not there anymore. So.
Oh, is it like Netflix?
No, I don't think Sodomaniac is going to be. No. Just a little bit.
Part of the problem with those awesome titles is some places don't want to touch us.
Yeah, that's where we are with the titles.
So I heard it said that you're proud of your politically incorrect B-horror film style.
Yeah, I love movies like this. I mean, again, they don't make us a lot of money, and people look at us like we're weird, but I love the reactions. Like, we used to pride ourselves on people walking out. Like, yeah, we had 5 walkouts. People were like, you're proud of them? Like, hell yeah. We had a lady. One time we did a movie for Art All Night, and they had to wheel an old lady out of the theater because she was like, what's happening? What is this? Is this a movie? And they had to take her out of the theater. And we had a lady get so mad.
Oh, man.
Because at the film festival, they do it where you listen through headphones.
Okay.
So there's no live sound in the room. Everything can go through headphones.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because there's so much other stuff going on Art All Night.
Sure.
But this one lady was so mad, she took her headphones off and threw them right at me and started screaming at me and left. And that was probably one of my favorite movies. That's the movie where a woman has a baby in the... It's a musical.
Okay.
And it's a woman has a baby in the back of a car, but then the baby dies, and then Jesus brings it back to life, and then the baby raps, does a rap song, and then shoots...
Talk about having everything in the movie.
And then she shoots itself in the head, and then a dog comes and eats its brains.
Oh, lovely. you're like this close to doing that Hallmark film. It's not even
funny. Tale as old as time.
There you go. Is there anything you can tell an aspiring filmmaker? Any advice you can give them? Your opinions on what they're trying to do? Just as an encouragement.
I mean, the only thing I tell people is just to do it. Because I know some people are afraid that they need everything to be perfect. Like, I don't have enough money. I don't have this. I don't have that. I'm like, what do you have? Just do it with what you have. I mean, again, we started making movies with this High 8 tapes. We didn't have computer editing when I started doing it. Like, we had to do VCR to VCR.
Deck to deck, yeah.
So it's like, just go out there and do it. Especially nowadays, everyone has a phone. You know what I mean? Go shoot on your phone. It looks good. Everybody, your computer comes with a freaking movie editor program in it. Like, I would kill for one of those when I was starting out. Like, especially kids and stuff, just start doing it and doing it. The more you do, the better you'll get at it. Just go out there and do it. If you think you can't do it, figure out a way to do it. Or write a movie that you can do. A lot of people are like, I have this $50 million sci-fi movie. I'm like, why don't you write a movie that you can probably make with you and three of your friends? You know, it's that easy on a weekend. That's it. I just tell them to do it, man. You can get out there and just, if you really want to do it, you really want to make it, just go and make it.
Sarah, you agree?
Yeah, I'd like to chime in with that, too. You know, like, we talk a lot about, like, it getting really tough being just the two of us and stuff.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And we also, Anthony mentioned, like, it's a badge of pride, like, when somebody walks out super offended.
Right.
But at the same time, it makes it all worth it when you actually see people who enjoy the movie, they laugh at the right places, things like that.
Right,
so,
right.
Like, even if you are doing it and you feel like you're getting stuck and you want to give up, like, don't give up, man, because the payoff's 100% worth it. Absolutely worth it.
Very, very cool. So it's like really about like art and any old kinds of art bringing forth an emotion or a response or a reaction in someone. That's really like the end goal of an art piece, I would think. But I think you're definitely hitting your goal as far as getting those reactions from people and also people enjoying it, you know? Tony Goggles, Sarah Casey, where can people find you? Where can people know you? Where can they experience all that is Tony Goggles and Sarah Casey?
You go to our website, diyfilms.com, D-I-Y, that's W-H-Y. That has all of our information, has all of our social media, how to get a hold of us, our YouTube links, how to order our movies, and stuff like that. So that's really the main hub. You can find everybody. You can find everything on there. And to listen to our podcast, you can go to anchor.fm, and it's What They Should Have Done. You can look that up. And then from there, there's seven other platforms you can listen to it on. I know you can listen to it on Stitcher.
Pocket Cast.
Google Play. So it's on, like, other places, but anchor.fm is the main hub for it.
And the podcast is spelled What They Shoulda, S-H-O-U-L-D-A.
Oh, nice.
Done.
Yeah. You really
not a contraction.
You really want to get a whole bunch of people.
You're going to love it.
It's like Tom Reeves spelling his name with an H.
Pam with the B.
There you go. The B is silent. You heard it today on Trenton Waves, TrentonWaves.com. Make sure you visit us online today, and we will talk to you soon. Sasso out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at TrentonWaves.com.
If you're a sleep apnea sufferer and you don't use or even like your CPAP machine, then you're possibly putting your life at risk. My name's Dr. Kevin Mossman, and not only am I a board-certified sleep dentist, but I'm also a sleep apnea sufferer myself. At our office, I can help you with a custom-made mouth device that takes the place of your dreaded CPAP machine. I love mine because it's comfortable and super easy to use. It costs you nothing to learn more about this life-saving mouth device. So call me today for a free consultation at 732-655-6585. Again, 732-655-6585. Or visit us online at sleepdentistnj.com. Again, that's sleepdentistnj.com.
Hello, podcast. Yeah, this is Frank Sasso from the Trenton Waves podcast. Just wanted to let you know, it's the annual spring edition of the Trenton Punk Rock Flea Market. It's time to awaken from your cold weather slumber and shop, eat, and rock till you drop. Over 260 different vendor tables each day, 10 different food trucks each day. This Saturday and Sunday, April 6th and 7th in Trenton, New Jersey. $5 at the door, good for both days. No tickets are required. Kids 10 and under are free, and there's free parking. That's this Saturday, April 6th, and Sunday, April 7th, 2019. Doors open at 10 and ends at 5 each day. Only at 675 South Clinton Avenue in Trenton, New Jersey. Rain or shine, like them on Facebook and visit them online at TrentonPRFM.com.